Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Sunday Show here on Here Be Monsters Radio with our usual hosts, Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson, and tonight's guest is presidential author Ronald Fineman. I'm sorry, Ron. I got caught up in the background noise there. And
Ronald L. Fineman, yes.
Who is a presidential author and an author and a professor of what actually is your title? What is your subject?
History and political science.
Political science and history.
And history, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's great. That's great. And thank you for joining us today.
Sure, I'm very happy to.
So this would be our post-election because it's taken all this time to actually allow the blue wave to roll across the country and stop short at Georgia and Florida.
Near misses, and in Texas, a near miss.
And in Georgia, yes.
And in Georgia, yeah.
Yes,
so, but we're delighted overall, by the way, it's turned out.
Stacey
yes,
Abrams
the Midwest, you know, a lot of this is went through Democratic governors, and that's a good sign for the Midwest, which is the area that Hillary lost. And if it could be won, it could really help the Democrats to win the White House.
Plus, redistricting will be occurring again shortly, and at least now we've got some leverage against more crazy redistricting efforts by the Republicans.
Yeah, because 23 states, a lot of them large ones, are now going to have Democratic governors, so it'll be a different situation than it was in 2010.
Well, plus, in two years, damage can be done if those governors don't hold up to what they've gone into office for. But I have a lot of great faith that they will, and more people will begin looking in that direction. But one thing I did want to say, gentlemen, is if you listen to how Stacey Abrams gave up her contest for governor, you'll find some of the most gracious and powerful words of the whole election season with that. She was tremendous in what she said last night.
Oh, and
she is tremendous. I think she'll be coming back. She'll run again.
That McSally, she did a great concession speech, which was noteworthy because it was totally devoid of rancor and bitterness, and it was very, very well done. Hats off to her.
Looking at trying to take a move six blocks down and capture McCain's seat too. Keep
right,
that
exactly.
In mind. I don't trust a Republican as far as I can throw them. And
well,
the Democrats,
if she puts in forth an example like that, I'll gladly welcome that any time, any day of the week. It's
that
so
is,
rare to see that.
Yeah, that is good news. So she was pretty smart. She read
yep.
the crowd pretty well
yep.
there. And the Democrat they did elect is sort of a blue Republican. You know, she's a very
right.
conservative Democrat. So
that's the only way she'd get elected in Arizona.
Yes, that's correct. That's really correct.
Yeah, but
look at California, Orange County,
oh,
always
wow.
very strong Reagan country. Now it's all blue, all Democratic House members.
Yeah, it's all Democratic
and
now.
Some radicals out there too. That was wonderful.
Goldwater is spinning in his grave, and so is
and
Reagan
too.
And Nixon.
Yes.
All of them.
Yeah, and Nixon, yeah. Yeah, I want to point out that this is an election in which the Democrats did better than any midterm since 1974, right after
That's
Nixon
right.
resigned, Gerald Ford came in.
Right.
This was the greatest change for the Democrats in 44 years in midterm
yeah.
election.
And there
wow.
are still some seats not counted, not fully accounted for yet that hopefully I think the majority of those will turn Democratic, too. I think the last I heard there's five or six seats that are still too close to call, but undoubtedly, they will go Democratic.
It looks
yep,
like it'll be 39 or 40 seat gain, which is fantastic.
That's incredible.
Ron, didn't the AG in Florida, the Democrat, win?
No, only the Commissioner of Agriculture, Nikki Fried. The other three,
yeah.
You know, the financial officer and the attorney general and the governor all lost. All close, but not winning. No, so only the state commissioner of agriculture will be a
Sean lost it then. I thought he
yes,
won.
Yes, he did. I hate to say it, but, you know, in my mind, it was so close in both Florida and Georgia, and there was some voter suppression, certainly in Georgia, and I think there was some also in Florida. And I really think, not South Florida, but I think a lot of the northern part of the state was looking at the ballots, and they maybe wouldn't say it, but I think they were saying, oh, my gosh, the Democrats have two African-American candidates, the attorney general and the governor, and two Jewish candidates for the chief financial officer and agriculture commissioner, and that's just not going to work in their mind. I really think it probably hurt that the Democrats had no white Christians on their ballot. I think it really did hurt.
Well, that could be. You never know. But that's
and also
you,
in Georgia. If the Georgia nominee for the Democrats
had
been a white woman, I bet she would have won. It was close. But I think also the voter suppression being done by Brian Kemp also prevented people from registering to vote. And it was close enough. It could have changed the result if everybody had been able to vote.
What a detestable man.
The final tally of how many people he suppressed from voting in Georgia, Kemp, was over 70,000 votes.
Yep. And he won by 63,000 votes, I think it was.
Right.
No,
so
it
made a difference.
Was more like 50.
Maybe it went down a little bit, yeah. But
even so,
that election was a farce, the Georgia election.
It was. It was a dream Republican election because they were able to suppress so many thousands of people. It's just, you know, this shit's got to end. It's just insane. They've been pulling this shit for years and years and years.
Rick Scott and DeSantis have shown their true colors, too. Floridians can't look away from it anymore. So whatever happens to this state from now on under this leadership is going to be the piercing sword that comes after them in the next elections.
Right.
Yes, and also realize now, thinking of the future, not so much 2020, but later, we have three Florida Republicans, all who probably want to be president. Marco Rubio certainly will want to try again because he's young and he will try again. I think Ron DeSantis, the new governor, is only 40, so I'm not saying now, but in 2024 he might want to run. And, of course, Rick Scott's older, but he's only 65, so all three of them could be competing to be the Republican presidential nominee. And so we're going to have three monstrous people. They're all horrible. I couldn't even figure out if we had to save one, you know, from a sinking ship, which one would I save? Probably Marco Rubio,
imagine.
But not because I like him, but I think the other two may be worse. But really, I think I'd say that Molsink.
I can't imagine Scott having national appeal whatsoever.
I can't.
Well, but he's won three elections very close.
Yeah,
it's
very
amazing.
Close.
They all win close
in
elections.
Florida. He'd never make it up here. He'd never make it in the Midwest.
He'd never make it in the Northeast either.
No,
not in Northeast,
never.
The Northeast,
and Coast.
Not in California. And I think you
not
can
in
say
California.
The same thing. And I think you could say the same thing of Rubio or DeSantis. Is
but DeSantis,
too much.
All
well,
three.
Then again,
yeah. I mean, they would all try for the nomination. Probably all be competing against each other. You know.
Look at the numbskull they got running the country right now. This son of a bitch is standing there saying, rake the forest, and there's only
1,300
people missing. I mean, and all of the other crap he has done and all the nastiness he spews daily into
that's
American.
Why he will not be reelected. I guarantee you there's no way he will win reelection.
I don't think
there's some who think he could be because of the Electoral College. It scares me. I don't think it can happen.
No, Midwesterners will not make the mistake
they
made in 2016.
Ron, I propose
this too. So it seems because we've had a lot of young people, suburbanites, and women who have really gone blue, and I hope they will stay that way. You're right.
I think they will.
Ron, I would propose this to you. I don't think Trump really wants the job, first of all.
There's some rumors that he might end up quitting and letting Mike Pence take over at some point when the heat gets too much.
And
that could happen in 2019.
No competition.
The points are that the only reason he ran was to be nasty and to get some kind of revenge on Barack Obama.
Exactly.
And then he ended up winning and he was dumbstruck. And it's been dumbstruck ever since. The only thing that he has done since he has been in office viably has been to profit off the office of presidency and his family along with him, and to basically deregulate for the Republicans at a monumental pace.
Yeah. And also destroyed the court system with extreme right wingers on the circuit courts, district courts, and the Supreme Court.
This was what he was willing to do. Anybody who thinks that he was a Democrat for most of his life has got it wrong. He was always just mouthing stuff to get him in certain social sectors of the community and society.
Exactly.
And which he was never accepted in. And basically, right now, all he's doing is trying to make business deals for when he gets out of that office and secure them. That's all he's doing. I don't think he likes being president. I think he hates that he has so much of his attention called on. And the only thing that gives him any satisfaction in this job is opening his whiny little bitch blaming mouth and spewing all of this brutality and cruelty into American society right now.
He's a paradox. He loves the attention, but he hates the scrutiny.
And he can't get himself together to go to Arlington National Cemetery or go to a cemetery in the Paris area, you know, because it's raining. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And now
I agree.
I also see that he was saying that the Finland president had said they rake up forests to prevent wildfires, and the Finnish president said he never said anything to Trump about it. I just see it now on Politico.
Right.
Believe that? So he lies on that, too.
Oh, he lies on everything.
He lies on everything. There is not a time this guy opens his mouth in conversation in front of a microphone and camera that he does not lie. Never.
And look at
Never.
What he did with Theresa May, screaming and yelling at her, the British Prime Minister, on the phone, and being rude with the French president, president last week. Now today, going after Adam Schiff of the House Intelligence Committee, who's going to be the new head of the Intelligence Committee, and he called Adam Schiff Adam Shit.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, this guy,
Adam Schiff,
he can't get along with anybody. He can't get along with anybody unless they're kissing his ass. That's the only thing he likes, is ass kissers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a few good things did come out other than what we've said. Scott Walker lost in Wisconsin, the governor of Wisconsin.
That's good.
Chris Kobach, who was trying to promote voter suppression with that Trump commission that ended up disappearing and was running for governor of Kansas, was upset, as you could say, by a woman named Laura Kelly, a Democrat winning Kansas. Imagine that.
That's
David Brat, congressman who defeated Eric Cantor and was a Tea Party leader in Virginia, and one of the districts lost his seat. So there were some good things that came out of this. Just
many good things. Yeah.
Did you hear about what Ann Coulter tweeted when Kansas, the governor's race, was lost to the woman? She tweeted,
Laura Kelly. No, what did she say?
She tweeted, "Kansas is dead to me," and then some smart-ass commentator said, "Oh, who are you kidding? You, it's been dead to you since they dropped a house on your sister." And it was like Twitter exploded.
Kansas was horrible under Sam Brownback, and this would have made it worse with Chris Kobach. So at least Kansas, seeing all the government cuts in health, education, everything, that people finally got a reaction and said enough of this, you know. So even people in Kansas have some brains.
Even though there was a domination in Oklahoma of red candidates, there was also a lot of gains in this past couple of elections of Democrats in Oklahoma. And there are a lot more people who are looking at in Oklahoma that are looking at their teachers and all of the amazing first responders are having a hard time. The communities are looking at it more and more. And I think by 2020, we're going to see some real changes.
I think so. Yeah.
Yes. Also,
because
there's a lot of minority background who got into Congress. A lot of women, a lot of minorities,
Wonderful.
And also gay and lesbian and transgender. So that's very, very, very
Native,
good to see, too.
We have two new indigenous or Native American women in the Congress now. That is stupendous. It is
that's incredible.
So overdue. Overdue.
Yeah.
And also a couple of Muslim women and also a Hindu woman as well.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, Mike Pence is going to have to swear in, had to swear in a woman wearing a burqa with the Quran.
That'll be a scene to see, yes.
I mean,
he's not as charming as Joe Biden when he swears people in.
Jesus. So now I hear a lot of talk on my end of town, which is, you know, I'm talking about the social networks and such. And even here in real time, I'm hearing a lot of talk about people thinking, you know, 2020 rolls around, they're foolish not to look at a guy like Beto O'Rourke, you know?
Yes.
I mean, there's people talking about charity.
He lost to Tech, became 3%. He did very well, yes. And you
know,
it's interesting. He looks like Robert Kennedy, although he's not a Kennedy, and his name is Robert Francis O'Rourke. And,
right,
of course, Robert F. Kennedy was Robert Francis Kennedy. I don't know, but I bet his parents, 4 years after Robert Kennedy's death, named their son after him because it's interesting, it's Robert Francis. And he looks a little like him, a little like him. You think he's related, but he's not.
Nobody thinks they're related. He spends a lot of his time with Joe Kennedy III campaigning and stuff. But they have a wonderful rapport, and both of them are well-spoken liberals, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Progressives.
Yeah, we have a lot
to look
forward
to. What about a ticket
of
O'Rourke and Joe Kennedy? You would have a Robert Kennedy look-alike, not related, and the grandson of Robert Kennedy, who looks like Ted Kennedy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, basically, I'm still going to pull for a woman in the position, but... and a lot of
people. Well, I'm promoting Amy Klobuchar. She's my favorite of the women right now of Minnesota.
A lot of people,
also being from the Midwest.
A lot
I wrote about that today on the blog.
A lot of people are talking about Klobuchar, Harris, and Warren.
And Gillibrand, somewhat.
Gillibrand doesn't have a chance, I don't think. She's got too much political. New Yorkers love her, but a lot of the country doesn't understand her. You know what I'm saying? Whereas Kamala Harris made a point of herself in these last hearings. People know who she is in these last hearings.
And Klobuchar also with Kavanaugh.
And,
she was
I'll tell you another woman that the country, and especially the state of Maine, knows right now, and that's Susan Collins. I don't think
she's in trouble. The only New Englander left who's a Republican.
I don't think she could get elected dog catcher again.
Yeah, House seat, Senate seat in New England in six states is Democratic, except for Susan Collins. You're right.
That's the only one.
Yeah, but
she's on an endangered species list up there, too.
Yeah, because of what she did to her constituency. Her constituency is primarily green and blue, and they'll vote blue in any major race.
Right.
And she promised those women that she understood what they were saying and the Me Too movement, yada, 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 and then she went ahead and voted for Kavanaugh. People are upset, including a few heavy names. I mean, Stephen King calls her a turd. You know what I mean?
Oh,
he'll put money behind somebody, you know. I mean,
yeah, it's a shame that Heidi Heitkamp, who was criticized for voting against Kavanaugh, lost her seat. But North Dakota is not a reliable Democratic state, neither is Indiana or Missouri. Claire McCaskill losing as well as Nelson, of course.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But you just never know anymore, guys. I mean, look at how things have turned around. I mean, Ron didn't think that Gillum had a chance in hell of being elected the nominee for the Democrats for a governor.
I didn't think of him as serious, but he was really a great candidate. Yeah,
he was very good. Yeah,
and
extremely
people
good.
People are paying attention to this stuff. There is a shift going on because there has to be. No paradigm shift going on in our politics right now. We are shit out of luck because we're going to lose the country. I mean, look at what this idiot is doing as an executive order here and there. Look what he's done by placing this guy in the AG's office.
Yeah.
I mean, it's astounding. It's stunning. It's illegal. And it's happening.
I have maintained
and he also
for a long
tried to
time.
Stop, the CNN reporter Jim Acosta, but a federal judge who he had appointed said he couldn't do that. He had a right to go to the press conferences.
So I have that maintained with his own for a long time that Trump is going to piss off enough people that he will. He's already done it, and the results have been in from the congressional elections. This guy's pissed off enough people. He's going to piss off even more in the next 2 years, and it'll be impossible for him to get the nomination, even maybe if he keeps this shit up. Even though the Republicans
I'm just
going
to write on that. I think
him.
Ben Sasse is going to probably run, the Nebraska senator, who's in his 40s.
Yeah.
And also I think Mitt Romney will run and John Kasich, at least those three, I think.
Yeah. They'll provide some interference for Trump, and I don't see Trump getting reelected. Not even close.
Only thing is, some prognosticators say it's not a question of how many votes he gets, it's where he wins. That it's still the electoral college. So it's
he's burned off a lot of the people that supported him beforehand in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Illinois.
Yeah.
That will not happen. That will not happen. In Wisconsin, won't happen.
If you've been paying attention to Carnack on MSNBC, you know that all of the electoral votes that got him that surprise ending have swept right away out from underneath him.
Right, right.
Everyone.
And that's why he was massively depressed for a few days there. He knew damn well he got defeated. He didn't want to admit it, but he knew he got defeated.
Yes, but of course, one thing he is happy about, Marsha Blackburn won the seat in Tennessee of Bob Corker. So there's another woman in the Senate, but a very right-wing woman. I really dislike Marsha Blackburn, but won over Phil Bredesen,
Yeah, I've had my eyes on her for a long time. I've never liked her. So she slipped into the Senate. There's a few, you can't avoid it sometimes, but.
There's another topic that I'm wondering how you guys are responding to or reacting to this weekend. There was a neo-Nazi gathering called for in Philadelphia. I don't know if any of you saw that.
No.
Go ahead. It's a great story.
Basically, a group of neo-Nazis petitioned and won a permit to demonstrate in Philadelphia, and Antifa or anti-fascists and liberals and all kinds of people who hate what they stand for and this white supremacy and all this showed up to back them off and say, get the hell out of our town. And basically what happened was, I guess, about 40 or 50 people showed up for this white supremacy rally, and thousands showed up to tell them to get the hell out of town. And they did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I hadn't heard about that. Wow, boy.
I didn't either. Well, it didn't matter, you know. 40 complete rednecks, who cares? You know, it doesn't matter.
It was engineered by a group called the Proud Boys, who about 3 weeks ago in New York City had some kind of demonstration Brooklyn, and basically started beating the shit out of people who said, shut up, we don't want to hear it. They started beating the hell out of them. And here's the bad part about this. New York City Police Department didn't respond the way most people in the neighborhood thought they should have.
Yeah.
So that was incredible. But there is a guy by the name of Mark Apollo, who goes around and follows all kinds of events. He cut his teeth on Occupy Wall Street, and we all followed him. He takes his camera and he goes, and he did a coverage of this thing in Philly that was pretty outstanding, you know? Says, look what's going on. That's the wonderful thing about social media. It's like, wow, you get to see what's going on in an event in live too on Facebook. It's like being there, you know, it's there. You are feeling it and seeing it go down. I think that's an amazing thing.
Yes, I think it is. By the way, Facebook really irritates me with their involvement with the campaign and the corruption and their lack of dealing with it. It's really turned me off to, you know, to Zuckerberg and all the others involved with Facebook.
I think Zuckerberg was caught by surprise by the massive negative reaction to their involvement, and I think he's still struggling to know how to deal with it.
I do, too. I don't think he's...
I'm no big fan of his by any stretch but
none of us are, but
he's just a big nerd.
Yeah, the other part about that is, too, though, that he's actually developed a, if you will, a planetary consciousness. I mean, we're all communicating. Ron, I talk to you almost every day, don't I?
Most of the time, yes, we do have a little conversation here and there, yes. Because I'm always posting. Never shut
Wayne,
up, do I?
Wayne, I talk to Wayne every damn day. I mean,
I can't keep my mouth shut. At this age, I'm going to say whatever I want to say.
And here's a forum that we're enabled to do it on, and it's putting a lot of people together as well as, and I think that you can congratulate social media, and there's many platforms. Facebook is the biggest. I think you can congratulate it for bringing people together and also helping to organize this blue wave in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, by the way, since you brought up how much I communicate with both of you on the internet and on Facebook, that this, by the way, is my 22nd time on your show.
Wow.
Oh, wow. We're going to have to give you co-billing here as a co-host.
Well, we're always glad to have you, Ron. You're enlightened.
You
have good input, and we always welcome your historical knowledge and your input because you pay attention. You know, you're on top of it, and we appreciate that.
I try my best.
Ron,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, Ron, have you been paying attention to the podcast by Rachel Maddow of Bagman? I would think that'd be right up your alley. It's the history behind Watergate and all of the information that's come out there talking about what happened day by day.
Actually, I have not. I've been involved because I'm teaching also and doing lectures. I'm aware of it, but I have not actually paid attention to that other than being aware of it.
I use my smartphone late at night, and instead of playing meditation music, I'll go over there and I'll listen to some Doc Maddow, and she's talking with historians and people who were there, and it's amazing, gentlemen, what really went down, and how nuts Nixon got.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was wacko, there's no doubt. And, you know, it is incredible that she's doing this, and it's such a long series, and that's great. And Chris Hayes has something going, too. It's not as well-known and not as popularized, but he's been involved with podcasts, too.
Yeah,
I wanted to mention tonight on MSNBC at 9 o'clock, she's on Rachel Maddow
right.
with an hour about the Nixon 1968 election and how LBJ and I committed treason. I've heard, I'm going to watch that. I have not listened to the podcast, but I've heard about that. And that's something I was somewhat aware of about the machinations. But then also 1980, Reagan's people convinced Iran not to release the hostages before the election. So
yeah.
There in 1980, and then in 2000, Bush, of course, you know, with Jeb Bush in Florida, President George W. Bush had some input there, and then in 2016, so these four times Republicans have won because of doing things we could call at least borderline, if not more illegal.
Well, here's the other thing, folks. Like I said, he's passed away now, but I had a family friend who was also a lawyer. Eugene Lovell, he was the lawyer who represented Norm Gardner. Norm Gardner is not an everyday name, but basically he was the CIA agent who was a handler for Noriega, and it was also who Ollie North reported to. And I have the poster here. I have the handwritten letter of Norm Gardner to Eugene Lovell, thanking him for everything he did because he was the lawyer during the Iran-Contra issues. And the family friend, Eugene Lovell, took great pride of all of those because it went from Casey Ollie North, even all the way up to Reagan, who was called before to testify. His man, Norm Gardner, was the only one who was not indicted. But he told me himself that Ollie North was out of the country when the Iran-Contra thing hit. As soon as he landed at Reagan National, what we know now today as Reagan National, someone walked up, gave Ollie North a piece of paper. It had a phone number on it. He called it, and he said, basically, Casey, Norm Gardner, and Ollie North got their stories together, and I'm doing this in air quotes, in other words, and this is Lovell's own words, so basically put their lie together, and the deal was made that if Ollie North took the fall, he would never have to work another day in his life. So when Ollie North was testifying before Congress in his Marine uniform looking like a good little honest Boy Scout, he was lying his ass off.
Oh, I knew it at the time.
We all know that.
Yeah.
We all knew that. But, Ron, you know, I got to ask you.
Of the lawyer who knew how it all went down.
Right. But what I'm interested in, and this is where Ron comes in, you know, this is under your purview, Ron, your authority,
yes,
if you will. What is the alignment here, do you see, between the Nixonian downfall and what's going on in the moment in D.C. with Trump and the Republicans and everything?
Good question.
Well, it seems like the Republicans are not doing much, but I have a feeling once January comes and the Democrats control the House, and if this kind of abuse of power that is going on continues, I'm not so sure the Republicans are going to back him as much as they come close to 2020. I think many of them would rather see someone else as the nominee, either Pence or someone else, and I think it's going to be a quite a different situation than it is right now. And I have projected that I think he will possibly resign. I think resign, because under pressure, but probably with the deal of a pardon by Pence, that's just like Ford with Nixon. And if it happens before the end of June, it will make him the fourth shortest term, shorter than Warren G. Harding, who lasted about 2 years and about 5 months, which would be to June of 2019. So he's going to be competing, I think, with Warren G. Harding for the fourth shortest term of office.
I'm not so sure. I don't think he'd resign, because to him that would be not winning. And
Nixon resigned.
Yeah, but Trump isn't Nixon. He hasn't got half the brain Nixon did. Nixon was.
Oh, in fact, I wanted to tell you, I just published on History News Network today, Donald Trump is no Richard Nixon, comparing the two and saying not that Nixon's great, but Nixon has some real accomplishments, and
right,
and, you know, and Trump does not. So I just published this article on History News Network a few hours
ago,
in which I compare them and make it clear Nixon's no great hero, but compared to Trump, he stands out as far better.
Oh, I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah,
we all know that Trump blatantly is a pathological liar.
Yeah.
He's a malignant narcissist, too.
He just dumps shit and spouts it out. That's a pathological liar, which is a devout sign of mental illness.
I agree.
Well, there's a lot of people who are speculating, and there's, like, evidence of it in his behavior, especially in the last month, that he has a bit of dementia going on.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he has dementia from the beginning, to be honest, but I'm not an expert, but I've thought that, and, you know, I think his mental behavior is dangerous because of he can get us into wars, though so far he hasn't, but actually he's backed the Yemen war of Saudi Arabia, and I don't think we should be doing that, and of course he seems to be ready to let MBS get away with the murder of Khashoggi, and I think Lindsey Graham, surprisingly, because he's crazy, but today he said I've given up on MBS and I don't want us to deal with him, and that's a little surprising because he says other things that are totally the opposite on other issues, but on this I said, well, Lindsey, you sound sane for a moment.
Well, that's deceitful. Like, everything he says is deceitful. So there's always something hidden in the background that'll come to light eventually.
Well, let's not preclude the background behind the curtain here. You got to understand, too, that, you know, Trump being who he is has made some kind of business arrangements with these Saudis in order to gain they can
and
getting
a
pass.
You know, we haven't talked much about the people around Trump that advise him. Some of these smarmy guys that he's This,
the most corrupt cabinet ever. Far worse than Nixon or Harding or Grant.
Absolutely, absolutely, yep. They'll be talking about him for hundreds of years now because of the corruptness of his cabinet. Those guys are rotten to the core.
He's a president. You can't take it away from him. That's why I think he'll resign, because he's become president. You can't take that away from him. What is his reason to stay and deal with all this grief if he can get a pardon and his sons get off?
Yeah,
That's what I think is going
to happen. Do you really, Ron? Do you think it's that easy that he would do that when the emotional behavior he's displayed in the past?
Well, Mike Pence has been doing more things that he should do. I think Mike Pence is starting to push himself into the leadership, you know, going to all these conferences overseas and replacing him in a lot of activities and being much more engaged in it. And I think the pressure is going to grow on him that will give you a pardon and will, you know, will prevent your kids from going to prison if you resign. And he still knows he's number 45. You can't take that away from him.
That's true.
And I
think
it's more ego that, and he'll just say, "I've done a great job, and I cut taxes, and I, you know, and I deregulated, and I got Supreme Court and other appointments." He'll consider it a success.
Yeah, he'll be spewing that shit out the rest of his life.
I don't think he's going to have a long life either. I think the stress is getting to him. It's not
And the diet. You know, when you have a McDonald's cheeseburger every night before bed, that's that's cholesterol talking. Yeah, I think his brain is gone. I think his circulation is going to pop one of these days.
Well, he's gained some weight while
he's a big – well, it's all that McDonald's crap. He eats like – he eats garbage. He doesn't eat good food. He eats garbage.
I don't really think he eats a hamburger every night before he goes to bed, but I think he probably has some very bad habits, and he stuffs his emotions. That's true.
Well, he's bragged, you know, when he's bragging. Sometimes it's not always bullshit, but a lot of times it is. But he's bragged about McDonald's cheeseburger. He has one before bed every night. That's what he says. So.
And meanwhile, Ruth Bader Ginsburg may have broken some ribs, but I think if she got into a boxing ring, she'd give him one punch and he'd be down.
Yeah.
She's amazing, that woman, isn't she?
Yeah.
She is. She's tremendous. She really is tremendous. She is a beautiful example of what a woman can achieve in this country.
Yes. And Felicity Jones is playing her in a new movie that's coming out. About her earlier life and what she did when she was younger, you know, to start the women's rights advancements. So it should be a great movie with Felicity Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's HBO, isn't it?
No, it's going to be in the movies.
Oh, it's going to be in the theater.
Yeah, also there's a movie about Gary Hart, who, of course, was forced out because of the sex scandal in 1987.
Right.
And at the point that they think he could have been an outstanding president, but he never had a chance. And yet 5 years later, Bill Clinton got around that and became president. It's an amazing change of the attitude from 87 to 92, when you look at it.
That's
amazing. And now there's
starting on CNN
about
the Clinton scandal, starting tonight for 6 hours, a documentary with Monica Lewinsky and others.
Yeah.
How can you... I would really love to hear about all the women sex scandals, women politicians sex scandals. Do you have any to report here?
Catherine the Great of Russia.
She liked animals.
That was
the Tsarina of Russia.
She liked animals.
It was unbelievable,
I've
gathered, in her love life. As far as otherwise, not too many. I mean, there was some, but I can't think of anybody that's a major figure at the moment, because there haven't been that many women that had much power in America.
Yeah, that was my point. But
even Queen Elizabeth I, I'm sure, had many, quote, sex scandals of England, you know. But definitely Catherine the Great. Oh, my God, the stories about Catherine the Great are unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love those two figures are heroes to me, both of them, Catherine the Great and Elizabeth I. I liked them very much.
Well, I prefer Elizabeth. I'm not big on Catherine the Great. She was really much more nutty, I think, if you look at her history.
There's a lot of kooky stuff. But then again, it's hard to know what is real and what isn't real. Let's remember biographers. Oops. Now I've walked into it, haven't I? Biographers can be very jaded at a time. You know?
There's a lot of stuff on, particularly Catherine the Great, by enough different authors. that I would say it's probably accurate, because Russia historically, I'm not saying we're better, but Russia historically, as all of them were so corrupt and so unethical and immoral and degraded, and most of them were. Peter the Great, for instance, certainly was.
Yeah.
But others as well, you know, the Russian history is more damning than ours, I think.
They had absolute power. That was the problem. They had nobody.
Yes, that's exactly it. You're right.
Yeah.
She really did. She had a lot of power.
And she wasn't even Russian. She was German.
But those royal families used to do-si-do back and forth between thrones over there for like millennia. You know, there's something that came up this week in speaking of women's issues. Jada Pinkett Smith is Will Smith's wife, and she is a very active in the women's movement and in people of color, women of color movement. And she does this thing on Facebook called the Red Table, where she sits down with her mother and her daughter, and they discuss issues of the day that are relative to them, but relative to society too. And this week they brought, oh God, what's her name? Wayne's hero, the woman who speaks of race so well, Jane somebody, brought her onto the
Jane
show.
Jane.
Say again.
Her name is Jane.
Mm-hmm. Your mic is weird because you're not getting through clearly. But basically, she brought up this, and the woman came on to the show, to the live conversation, and said, you know, this whole thing about racism, because racism became the central theme of the talk. She explored just exactly when and why. And historically, I'm sure Ron can verify this too, especially with different cultures and the political climb in culture. She said that it was during the Spanish Inquisition that race became even a thing, because the patriarchy, which would have been the Holy See at that time, determined that, you know, classification of people by color. And that was the first time. We all know that Jesus, historically and accurately depicted, was a brown man with wavy hair. He was a Middle Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
We know that many of the white-sized heroes of history, if you will, were not depicted, have not been depicted accurately. There were Roman emperors who were not white. And let's remember the last pharaoh was the last of the Ptolemies, Cleopatra, and she was brown. So in this venue, while they're speaking racism, Jane comes on and says, you know, it's just the human race. And I'm looking out right now at America and how it stands politically and all the division and everything. I wonder, out of each of you, do you not think that much of this is anchored in this racism and fear?
Absolutely, yes, no question about it. And it still amazes me that after having had an African-American president, a mixed-race president, we still have maybe more racism now with Donald Trump than we had before. At least it's showing up more. 50 years ago, we had George Wallace, and he ran as a third-party candidate, couldn't win, and we said, whoo, that's the end of that. But now we have somebody far worse than George Wallace because he's in power.
But he won't be in power very long, and his movement is going to pass very quickly. It's going to be very outdated before too long, and I can't wait for that day.
But the courts are damaged long-term, and also the employment.
That's true. That's a good point.
There's no way to change that quick, especially not with the courts.
That's
these
right.
are lifetime
that's
appointments unless they're impeached, and that's not likely to happen.
You never know. We could have a
left-wing country with a right-wing court. Imagine
Let's
that.
See what happens in 2020, what happens to the Senate. I'm convinced that it's going to be a reverse of this year.
And I don't think that impeachment of Kavanaugh is off the table at all.
No, I don't either.
I really don't.
But the conviction is the issue. You could be impeached, but conviction requires 67 senators if everybody's voting.
For the president, but not Kavanaugh.
And for anybody else. So it still required two-thirds of the Senate to remove
Kavanaugh.
Yeah,
that's true. Good point, yeah.
That's the problem. Yes, 51.
But you guys are looking at the past. You're not looking at the change that is ongoing right now. And I think that
Senators, Republican.
But even if we get a Democratic Senate, let's say 53, you're still going to have 47 Republicans. You would need at least 14 of them to join the 53 Democrats to convict. And that I don't see happening.
I don't see that happening.
But with everything that is happening right now that is going to blow up in these senators, Republican senators' faces, like it just blew up in these congressmen's faces, it could be that Republicans will recant their support. It could be.
But that's true, like they did with Nixon.
Yeah.
Barry Goldwater and Hugh Scott went to see Nixon and said, you wouldn't get more than 10 votes in an impeachment trial. So
right.
That could happen. They could be enough to say, enough, you need to leave and let Pence come in because Pence is more like what we want, not that I want, but what they want. It could be that it could happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he might also resign like Nixon did rather than go to a trial.
Well, the writing could be on the wall as this progresses. There is definitely a shift in this country going on. And I'll just give you the Antifa from Philadelphia. I mean, you got these Proud Boys who got away with the bastardly thing they did 3 weeks ago in New York. They think they're going to go down in Philly. And by the way, that all happened very spontaneously. Nobody was, you know, these Proud Boys went in to a support group of people who were progressive for an event and began beating them up. And then they said, well, we're going to Philadelphia now because we can get away with it. Well, they got down there and not many of them showed up, but there aren't that many of them either.
Yeah.
And all these people turned out from all over Philadelphia to say, oh, no, Somerby, you can't do it here. And
yeah, I've seen some videos of some of these characters, and I look at these young guys, and I look at them, and I say, if they were in my class, I would never know they were bigots. You can't tell by looking at people, but you look at them and say, what's wrong with you? Why are you this way?
Once they start opening their mouths and taking the stances they do, then they make themselves very apparent.
But honestly, you can't tell by looking at people, and then
their parents'
upbringing, or what is it that makes them this way? I don't understand, you know?
They're just channeling their disenchantment in the wrong way, big time. And they're very, very, in some ways they're naive, in other ways they're just purely mistaken. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I have another question for you guys. So just before, last topic of the evening, what do you think is actually going to happen here with they say that on Tuesday we're expecting new indictments from Mueller. And just the whole Mueller investigation, where it's going, where it's at, this idiot that has been put in office over there that can just ferret the information on over to the White House.
Matthew Whitaker, yes.
What do you think? I mean, this is a con man. This guy is a con man.
Well,
he's like Trump.
He's so much like Trump, it isn't even funny. That's why
Rod Rosenstein should have been taken over as acting attorney general when Sessions
fired,
and he's been good on the issue. But but yet he claims that Trump, that he's not trying to stop the investigation, he just wants it to end. But he's so contradictory one day to the next, you know, and he repeats himself constantly like a person with dementia, same language over and over and over, and he lies so much.
He's unsure. He has no clear plan. He has no clear path of action. He goes on hunches. He just goes at the spur of the moment. That's the way he's been that way his whole life.
That's right. That's what his businesses reflect. All of them have failed. Yeah. They're all failures. Where you see his name, it's not his ownership, you know. He's just
he lent his name out for money.
yeah, this is a con, you know, I mean.
Well, he is a con man.
That's why he doesn't want his tax returns to be opened up. But now with the new Democratic Congress.
Oh, I can't wait.
We've got to, you know, I am very heartfelt that, is it John Lewis or is it Cummings? I think it's John Lewis is going to be the head of the, you know, investigative branch, judicial.
Judicial
is it judicial? Yeah, and I think he's bringing that to the table first thing.
I hope so. You know, this bullshit about, oh, I'm being audited, and I'll release them when they're done auditing.
Oh,
you don't have an 8-year audit. I'm sorry, that's bullshit. That's an absolute
lie. Yeah, I wanted to
mention,
I thought Maxine Waters was becoming the head of the committee that will get the tax returns. I thought, maybe I'm confused. In any case, she's going to be the head of some committee. And can you imagine Maxine Waters going after Donald Trump now that she will be the head of a committee?
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Now.
She's 80 years old, by the way. Another octogenarian that's still got power and influence.
And the other thing about this is, too, you know, once the Democrats get a hold of investigative information, they don't have to hold it back, and they can hold these investigations in front of the public. I'll never forget Sam Ervin. I will never forget him. I mean, I was a kid, but I will never forget him. I, as we all probably did from time
and
to
Howard
time.
And Howard Baker,
was...
we don't have those kind of guys around anymore now.
You never know.
Yeah,
there's
he was
a
something conservative, but he was a principal conservative.
He was. He had a lot of principle.
North Carolina, yes. And he had an interesting way of speaking. I remember vividly, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine Donald Trump Jr. testifying before Maxine Waters.
And
I can't wait.
And television cameras.
She's so colorful and dynamic. It would be fun just to watch, you know?
It would be, yeah. Let's hope we have the opportunity to do that.
Yes. One thing you learn from Maxine Wood is don't dare cross her.
You just never know what's going to happen with this new Congress going in there.
Yeah.
Never boring, though. That's for sure.
Oh, we'll be on the edge of our seats, I'm sure, for the next few years.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think about the Speaker of the House? Should it be, I think we should let, for the next 2 years, let Nancy Pelosi and the other two, you know, Steny Hoyer and James Clyburn stay, but with the idea of turning over to younger leadership after 2020. But
I
have some people who really vehemently disagree and say, no, now. I'm curious, what do you guys think?
I think that would be too early and too quick. And, you know, we need a little solid people that know the ropes to guide the way and to basically kind of slowly train in the new replacements. That's my opinion.
Yeah, well,
how do you feel, Gwen?
It's like cutting your nose off to spite your face. My mother used to say that to me.
We should let them stay.
I think that they should be shepherding or mentoring in new leadership.
Yes. That's what I wrote in my blog. And what about you, Wayne?
That's what I was saying. I like the idea of the mentoring because, like, she's been around. She knows where the pitfalls are. She knows that, you know, the experience that you can't do this step first before this one.
Right.
Because that, you know, you might blow your teeth together. She knows the progressive steps to move forward. And I like her there as the mentor, young ones. I like her.
There are a lot of potential candidates.
She's also got to know when the hell to put the sword in, too. And that's
why
well,
I think
that
she should really leave and, you know, give up the power by 2020 for the next Congress, 117th. But I'm thinking who could be the next speaker? Could be almost anybody we don't necessarily know. But I really think Adam Schiff of California is one of the best.
He's
very reasonable and decent. And of course, now he has a nickname, Little Adam Shit, from the president.
You know what? I really think that a shift towards extremely more progressive measures has to be taken here. Yeah, you need the oversight and the experience of these old war horses. But let me remind you let me remind you, we're on a ticking clock here to extinction. And if these changes don't come about, our children, what children can they have? Because the surface of this planet will be dead. And that's a period at the end of that statement. So the change has to come. It has to shift incredibly.
And I think it will.
I don't know that these old war horses actually think they can compromise to get there with time. I don't think they really have fully embraced it because they've been so collectively embroiled in so much other stuff. Whereas the new Congress coming in is fully aware of the crisis of climate change right now.
Let me reiterate your statement there to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. In other words, the old war horses still have the mentality of go along to get along, where the new blood
they're chess players. They know how the game has worked and has been rigged. Right. All of these years in D.C. This is a do-si-do. It always has. It has been for ever since its conception. There's been do-si-do compromises. But we are out of time on that. And this new Congress that is coming in, many of these people are dedicated to making these changes happen and happen fast and for good reason.
Right.
And they should be given the reins to do it. They should.
And I
be
believe
the
they
reins.
Will be. I believe they will be, and they'll do it by their own pressure on Nancy Pelosi and the other ones too. So, I think we're in for a good period here for a change, and it'll be wonderful to watch the progress taking shape and actually coming into fruition.
I agree with you. Yes.
I have one last, we've only got a couple of minutes here. So, Ron, would you let people know where they can find your good stuff?
Okay, of course, I write on theprogressiveprofessor.com every day, just about. And I also write a lot of articles. I think now I'm up to about 100 articles I've written on historynewsnetwork.org. And, of course, I'm the author of Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson and Barack Obama, Roman Littlefield Publishers in paperback, very reasonably priced. And you can get it from Roman Littlefield, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or Amazon.
Thank you, Ron. I love that. Jack, how can people find Saturday Afternoon Post?
You can see me at the Saturday Afternoon Post. You can also do it by going to www.jodell, and that's with two L's, J-O-D-E-L-L, 53.com. That'll lead you right there. And I split my blog on Mondays. I usually feature a podcast by a very good man out of St. Louis called Burr Deming. He has his own fairandunbalanced.com website, and we've become close friends over the years. And for the last 3 or 4 years, on Mondays, we do one of his podcasts, and I comment on it. And then on Thursdays, I usually write a full-blown article myself every week. So that's the way it's been going. And that's the Saturday Afternoon Post, www.jodell53.com.
And real quick, because we're almost out of time, Wayne?
Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. Check it out. Going to read about a lot of my own true life experiences, that everybody's the sum of their own life's experiences, and you'll get an good understanding of why I am who I am today.
You are also the engineer of knowledge, weren't you, back in the day?
Look, I have a former one, engineer of knowledge. Mm-hmm. That was another that I had, and there's a lot of articles on that.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Ron, for
coming.
Thank
you so much, yes.
And 22. Wow, that's great. And I'm Gwen Holdenberry, and I'm down here in South Florida with Ronald Fineman. And next week we'll be back with the Sunday show, a week in review of progressive politics.
And everybody have a good Thanksgiving coming up, of course.
Yes,
good
Thanksgiving to everybody.
And everybody, do what you can for California right now.
Oh, yes,
please.
Those poor people, yeah. Well, yeah. All we can do in the meantime, the rest of the country, is keep pushing forward. We've got to do that. So that's our
Absolutely. Have a good evening, guys.
Yeah, and good to you. Good Thanksgiving to you, Wayne and Ron, and you too, Gwen. So thank you, Gwen, for your effort. Appreciate it so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Next week. Good night, gentlemen.
It's a date.
Good night.